Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 2 John. Tonight is study number 17, and we'll be reading from 2 John verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed. Now we're curious about this expression, God speed. God tells us not to bid the individual that would come to our home without the doctrine of Christ, with another doctrine, or it really is saying another gospel, that we should not receive that person or persons into our house, neither bid him Godspeed. What does it mean to bid someone Godspeed? That's not an expression we use today. Well, you may hear it here or there, but for the most part, it's very unfamiliar to us. Well, once again, we're helped when we just turn to our concordance and we look up the word, and we find that it is translated as Godspeed in verses 10 and 11 here, but for the most part, it's translated other ways, such as rejoiced and glad and things of that nature. Actually, this particular Greek word has already been used in 2 John earlier in the chapter in verse 4. Let me read that verse where it says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. The word rejoiced, the Greek word underlying that English word, is the same Greek word as Godspeed. Oh, now that changes things. That begins to give us a fairly good understanding of what Godspeed means. But let's look at a couple of other verses. Back in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 2, in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And there again, the word rejoiced. Or in Matthew 5, in verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And in another place in the Gospel of Luke, the same Greek word is translated as glad in Luke 15 and in verse 32. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now from these verses, and we could go to others, but we won't. From these verses, we see that this word has to do with God's salvation plan. When they were rejoicing over the star with great joy, it was because the star led them to Christ. In Matthew 5, when the command was rejoice and be exceeding glad, that was said as a result of the child of God who was giving evidence, since he was following in the footsteps of the prophets that had come before him in experiencing the reviling of the world. He was giving evidence of being a true believer, and therefore rejoice. And in Luke 15, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This is rejoicing over someone who was spiritually dead. The brother wasn't physically dead. And when he returned to his father, it was the evidence of coming to spiritual life. That is, rejoice or be glad because of the salvation of your brother. And so now these words, they're all related to the gospel. They're related to God's program of salvation and to his word. And that's why the Lord is saying in 2 John in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That is, do not rejoice with him. The child of God is glad when the gospel goes out into the world. Yes, we do rejoice because we know that through the word of God, God saved and blessed a great number of people from the various nations of the world. And it was all through the sharing of his word. However, we do not rejoice, and we're commanded not to hear with messengers of other kinds of gospels who bring not the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be glad with them and wish them well at all. The Lord gives a very serious reason why we should not bid them Godspeed or rejoice with them in the next verse, in 2 John verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed, and again, remember that Godspeed means rejoice or is glad, and the word biddeth is a Greek word lego, which could be say or says. For he that says to him is basically what it's saying, rejoice, or whoever says to him, well, I'm glad for you, brother. I hope you have success with your gospel. May as you go forth, others respond to the message that you're bringing. Well, whoever bids such a one Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And we should have no doubt about it that when someone teaches things that are contrary to the truth of the word of God, it is an evil deed. Although in their presentation of their particular doctrine, they may be very nice, very kind people, very gentle, seemingly loving. They might be very friendly. They probably will be. And they'll speak good words, flattering words perhaps. And so it would just be kind of us in return and polite of us to wish them well in their endeavor and to say something like, well, the Lord be with you as you go forth. Well, we had better watch out. You know, God does not play around with false teaching and false doctrine and false gospels. He has absolutely nothing good to say about it. He does not mix truth and lie. He does not harbor deceit in any way. God does not speak well of anyone who is bringing another kind of a gospel. And the Lord rather has words of wrath and judgment towards anyone that would teach something contrary to the truth of his word. And God would have the child of God to adopt his mindset and not to have any kind of communion, any relationship, and partake of anything that is coming from that direction. And that direction would be the direction that is against God, that is opposed to the Bible and to the teaching of the Bible. We are not to be partaker of their evil deeds. You know, let me just give an example, because I've been a little surprised at this and kind of amazed. I'm not an expert on Facebook or groups like that. I've only really been on there, I suppose, a relatively short while, and I definitely don't want to judge anyone. It's just something I noticed. It could be due to the nature of Facebook and so forth. But I've noticed that there are some people who are friendly. They have a lot of friends on Facebook, and they teach wrong doctrine. They teach quite a lot of wrong doctrine. And yet, from time to time, they may say something correct, or they may post a Bible verse. And out of just, I think, wanting to be nice and kindly and just to treat someone well, many other individuals who know, they know full well that what this person teaches for the most part is contrary to the Word of God, will like something on that individual's page. And you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have friends, but this has to do with the gospel. When someone is using their Facebook page as a means, as an outreach of sharing the Word of God primarily, that's not on the same level as just being friends. That's someone who is coming, just like we're told here in 2 John, coming as a messenger of his particular gospel. And when we like something on an individual's page, who on that same page, you might find 75% of what he's saying is just false, then we are directing other people to that person's page, and they may take our like of this individual's quote or statement as an endorsement of some kind. Now, we have to be careful. We don't like other kinds of gospels. We don't pay them any attention whatsoever, is really what God is saying here. We close the door on them kindly and gently, but we sternly shut the door and say, I'm sorry, I cannot talk with you. I cannot have fellowship with you in any way, because you are not bringing the truth of the Bible. I cannot even bid you greeting and Godspeed. I cannot be glad at anything you're involved in, and nor will I, because if I were, I would be going against what the Bible says. You know, the word partaker here, we can't imagine that this is the case, just for wishing someone well, that we would actually be a partaker of his evil deeds. But that's what God says. And that word, that Greek word, which is translated as partaker, is, now I'm going to try and pronounce it, and it won't be the best pronunciation of it, but it's koinonio. Koinonio, which is Strong's number 2841. And it's found, for instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. Let me quickly read there. 1 Timothy 5, 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. The word partaker is koinonio. Now, that might sound a little familiar to you, and if you're familiar with the Greek word for fellowship, it's koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. And that word, koinonia, which is very related to the word partaker, is found in Galatians 2 and verse 9. And I'll read that. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. The word fellowship is koinonia. And here we see that James, Cephas, and John, the pillars, who seem to be pillars, of course Christ is himself the pillar and ground of the truth, they gave unto the apostle Paul and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. That is, they agreed on the gospel truths, and they began to walk together in the same gospel, in the same understanding of the Word of God, of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were partakers of the same word. and they were in fellowship. You know, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Or if they're not in agreement, really, the question is, can two walk together? And some try to do that. And they call others brother and sister. And they act as though there's tremendous agreement. Why? Because someone is a professed Christian? Well, so are about 2 billion in this world. And yet the evidence is that there's about 2 billion that are not true believers, that are not true Christians. They're Christian in name only. In doctrine, they deny the Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel that they adhere to and that they would share with others, they deny the Lord Jesus Christ on point after point. We have no agreement with them. We cannot walk with them. It's why God called his people to come out of the churches. Now, just because someone's out of the church, does that make someone a brother or a sister? No. No. Are we so desperate for fellowship that we would call anyone a brother or a sister? We cannot be so quick to extend the right hand of fellowship, especially when someone is not believing or understanding the doctrines of the Bible that we have been taught, and especially if they are acting as some sort of missionary or messenger of their particular gospel, whether it's in the church, no matter what church, or outside of the church. We are not to be partakers of this sin, this doctrinal sin that they are involved with. You know, the word fellowship, koinonia, is also translated as communion. And we find this translation of that word in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses here, beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, that's the word we're looking at, hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now here God is, of course, giving that instruction to us that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And this would relate to marriage. A true believer should not marry someone who is not a true believer. By the way, that's just asking for tremendous grief. For tremendous grief, because after a while, the physical attraction will wane, and you're going to be left with a person who has quite a number of beliefs and understandings and ways of living that are very different from a true believer. And the true believer just would have no ability to fellowship with someone who is not a true believer themselves. And, you know, also consider we're living in a time when the church age is over. And so for a true believer who understands that the church age has come to an end, that God has finished using the churches and congregations, for someone of that understanding to marry someone who says they're a Christian, yet who is deeply involved in the church, or someone who just thinks that they ought to go to church, is also asking for tremendous grief, maybe even more grief than marrying someone who has no understanding and no relationship to Christ whatsoever. Because someone who thinks they know the gospel, who thinks that God is still using the churches, will be probably even more contentious than a woman who might allow her husband to worship the Lord outside of the congregations because she could care less. And being unequally yoked is not just someone who says they're a Christian marrying someone who doesn't confess to being a Christian. It could be two individuals who say they're a Christian, but in doctrine, in understanding the doctrine of Christ, they are not equally yoked at all. This verse to be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers would also have application for business. We should not get into a business relationship with someone who's an unbeliever. And why not? Well, someone who's an unbeliever might think it's fine to cheat and fine to do unethical things in the business. And the true believer, of course, would want to do things in an upright way as God would have them to do. And so there could be contention in that kind of a relationship. And we're never to get involved in any sort of spiritual coming together with others for the very same reason. They have their gospel with its particular doctrines, and we have the gospel of the Bible with the Bible's doctrines. And there can be no agreement. There will only be discord. There will only be a contentious relationship. God is letting us know there is to be a distinct separation made between the true gospel and the false. We are not to be polite with false teaching and invite it into our homes in any way, not through the front door, not through the television, not through the computer, not in electronic groups like Facebook. We're not to have fellowship. We're not to partake in other kinds of doctrine and gospels. We are not to bid them Godspeed and rejoice in the things they're doing. We're not to wish them well with their task, but rather we sternly and yet kindly say no thank you and shut the door. We are not to entertain them at all, even for the slightest moment.